So I'm driving over here for this podcast today, and I'm walking out to the car, and I forget my phone, and almost like this panic comes over me.
Where's my phone?
Yeah, like, where's my phone? Oh, shoot, where's my phone?
It's like we have this attachment.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible.
And so I can't leave. There's no way I'm leaving the house without my phone.
Heck no.
And so I'll go back inside, go upstairs, pull off the charger. Okay, I've got my phone.
I know.
All right, now I'm complete.
All right, we're good.
Right? I mean, it's almost like we're... And this is something that Musk talked about. It's like we're cyborgs now. Peace and blessings, and welcome to the Catholic Life Podcast. My name is Khalil Hattar.
Andrew Wolf.
Mike Jakubilski.
And thanks for tuning in today. We have a lot going on in the news with SpaceX and Elon Musk.
Elon. The man, the myth,
Cybernet,
legend.
You know, all cyber stuff going on.
Terminator. So we're going to be exploring some of that today on the Catholic Life Podcast and really delving into technology and how it relates to our faith. And I'm going to throw it to you guys.
Yeah.
SpaceX, Elon Musk.
Pretty crazy stuff, man. He's
now,
doing...
Yeah,
he's
who
doing,
is Elon Musk?
Elon Musk, he's... I'd say he's a tech mogul for our generation. He's a genius level.
You hear the word mogul thrown around a lot.
Mogul.
What's a mogul? Somebody dominant, like a mogul. Somebody do you have it in Greek?
No, I do not.
Mogul comes from the Greek word.
Yeah. No. Cool. You got this?
No, I don't.
I don't either. Maybe you should just.
I'm not too sure.
I search it.
Mogul. Somebody just dominates.
Yeah. Just dominates. Like it. Yeah. But he's. He's the leader of SpaceX. You guys probably know about that. SpaceX.
Tesla.
He does Tesla. He does all the rocket launches, the Falcon, the one that just recently happened, and partner with NASA, right? He does all that with NASA. But yeah, he's really taken our world to a different level with the technology.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly taken up our attention, right?
Yeah, well. We're into that stuff, so
like the,
I am.
Yeah,
we had
Edison.
A different topic planned for today.
We did.
We legit had a different topic planned for today, but we're doing our like pre-show warm-up, and we just started talking about this Starlink thing that was just launched.
Starlink.
So what is what's Starlink? We
got to
share
on.
This with people.
Because I don't want to get it wrong. All right, so Starlink originally started, it's been going on for years, but it originally started in 2015, and then 2018, 2019, he started to build it out more and more.
What is the main idea?
And the main idea of Starlink is Elon Musk is trying to create worldwide Wi-Fi.
He wants to blanket the world with high-speed internet.
So like these small satellites that just are always, like it'll look like stars is what we were talking about.
Yeah, sometimes like Bob's... son.
Yeah.
Sorry, son.
Shout out to Derek.
Yeah, shout out to Derek.
Son, Derek Mileta.
Yeah. Derek
Mileta. he was talking about the other night, he was looking up.
Let's give Bob to tell us the story.
So, the mysterious Bob Mileta present.
Well, I don't know if you guys will hear me. Mike knows the story. But Derek called me and he says, Dad, I just saw, I don't know what it is, but it looks like 10 satellites, evenly spaced, flying across the sky all together, like in formation. And he says, it freaked me out. And then a little while later, I saw like 10 more going in a completely different direction, right past the moon. And he's like, if there are aliens, do they have the same God as us?
That's a great question.
That is a good
question. So he thought they were UFOs.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
he didn't know anything about...
I didn't know what they were either until Mike sent me a link to Starlink.
Starlink, yeah.
Starlink, huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty alarming when you look up and you're just like, there are high-speed orbs...
You see 60 lights flying.
Flying at high, you know, incredible speeds. Because if you do have... If you've seen them, I've seen a couple just single ones. They are flying at... They got to be at Mach speed. Like, it's not a plane. It does not look like a plane at all. So it's pretty... It's pretty interesting.
See, like, I hadn't heard about this until about a week ago, but the first question that comes to mind is, like, how is this allowed, like, especially over other countries? Yeah. We were talking about this a little bit before, but, like, Russia, China, why are they going to let us have American, these, like, satellites over their land?
Yeah.
I mean, I get the idea of free Wi-Fi, but...
Yeah, I've got no idea how that all, like, the politics of it and, like,
the... Yeah, there was something here that, like, said... like the regulations or the licensing he had to obtain to do that. But again, you wouldn't think the government would just let a guy
and it's the whole world. Like, it's not just one government.
Yeah. There has to be a reason for it. So technology in and of itself is morally neutral, right? The advancement of technology, if we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we said earlier we shouldn't be placing limitations on God's creative freedom,
right?
Then we too have a creative freedom that's divinely inspired. And so we should be able to exercise that creativity, mm-hmm. and it's bearing fruit in technology. And so technology in and of itself is morally neutral. That's the Catholic perspective. But how we use technology, that begins to bear morally on our lives.
Right.
Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are there limitations? What are those limitations? Mm-hmm. We kind of see that with reproductive sciences.
Just like money. I think that's a really easy one for people to understand, the idea of like a neutral moral thing. Because like money, you can use it like and be greedy, or you can be generous.
Exactly.
And like, you know, one's obviously a good thing, the other is a sin.
I can use it to go gamble, and it can really be destructive on my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can also use it to build up a secure nest egg for my wife, my children. Yeah, yeah. I can use it to help others. I can be magnanimous, right? Generous with money. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. With technology, I mean, it's the same thing. You can use it to connect with people. You can use it for, you know, just to veg for countless hours. Like
we do a lot of YouTube watching here.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I do. But you never feel good after vegging.
No, you don't.
Right. It might feel good in the moment.
Yeah, but then you get done and you're just like,
but then you're like 16 hours later. You're watching Avatar for like 10 hours.
Yeah. Oh, longer than that. Good. 48. Yeah. Just keep going. Like,
Avatar
people
marathon,
like calling me. I turned off my phone, you know, really? 3 days later. It's like, where are you at, man?
You're all, oh, the Fire Nation's getting up.
Season finale.
Yeah.
But it feels good in the moment when we use technology like that. There's like this immediate sensory satisfaction that we get. But then you sit back and you say, shoot, what did I accomplish in this last 2 hours?
See, with that, it's like the idea of like having something in your brain. You know, it's like in the moment, it's like, this seems like a good idea. Like, you know, this can cure things. But we're not going to see those negative side effects at first.
Okay, so technology, I mean, the way it's being sold to us, it's usually sold as a good. Like, we're going to do it.
Well, that's everything bad. Everything bad is sold as a good.
Well, yeah, right?
Yeah.
They want to get it out there.
Right.
And so it's going to start out as something that's going to help with spinal and neurological injuries and all that stuff.
And then it's probably going to develop into
something crazy.
What's
it going to become? Yeah.
And then it tracks our thoughts and all of a sudden it can mind control
everyone.
That's
what some of these comments were. They were like, if they're going to be able to do this, then here, let me read the comment. Then will it also be possible to someday digitally extract the data we store in our own brain?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like that's
our
crazy.
Our phones are already doing it with what we say. So
like they'll be able to read our thoughts?
What?
Well, there's a couple science fiction movies that like come to mind right now. Minority Report, Tom Cruise.
Great movie.
Right, where they can like almost see into the future.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a movie by Robin Williams. I forget what it's called. Bob, do you know what it's called?
Mm. No. Did you see The Circle?
No. Is that another one like that?
That's a good one. You have to watch that.
I'm not sure.
So Robin Williams, when why it's relevant, what his job is, he takes a memory chip out of every person that dies, and he edits the memories into like a video highlight reel of their life.
Mm. Okay, that one. Do you remember the Netflix series Black Mirror? I think that's what it was.
It's called. Still on.
It's still it's on. Still yeah.
Yeah.
And there's this episode where like they can like relive their memories, and it's like a really kind of just dark episode because it follows this.
Most of those episodes are pretty dark, but
correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you know it. But like, there's this guy whose like wife cheats on him, and just it's really nasty. But it turns out that like, he was spending so much time reliving his memories that he like neglected his relationship.
Really?
And then it's just, it's super dark because it's like people
get
addicted.
So he's like sucked into the virtual world.
Yeah. It's kind of like how we use our phones.
Living in the past. Yep. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So like at first, like the idea of being able to relive memories is like, oh, that's really cool. But this guy, like what happened is, you know, things in the present were getting bad. And so he kept reliving the previous good memories with his wife. To try to escape.
Wow, yeah.
And it's just dark because at the end,
that,
you're
that,
like,
that is
yeah,
pretty, it's dark.
Feels.
So escaping reality, that is certainly addressed by the church.
100%.
Let's use we don't have to go down the road of technology and drinking. That's an example of escaping reality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? I mean, monks brew beer. Some of the best beer I've ever had.
I've never been able to taste it, but yeah, it's got to be.
It's good stuff. Yeah. And so you can enjoy it as a social lubricant. You can enjoy it for what it is, right? You enjoy the taste, the flavor, but when you start using it to escape reality, to numb yourself, that's where it becomes morally
wrong,
unacceptable.
It
is morally wrong.
So
the same thing with technology in our phones. I can use my phone to like use Google Maps to like look up directions, or if I'm using it for work, something constructive. Mm-hmm. But if I find myself just always on Facebook, or I can't get off Twitter,
playing solitaire for 4 hours,
playing solitaire.
I'm not saying anyone here is guilty of that.
You're not saying that. You're doing that. Just okay, first of all, Andrew is like the most innocent guy when it comes to tech. I mean,
innocent.
I would ask you
oblivious.
To like pull out your phone.
It's got a cracked. It's got a cracked lens and everything. Yeah, real quick. Here we go. Yeah, it's like you can even see the crack
the
and everything.
Android.
The front lens is cracked.
Yeah. So here's a funny story about Andrew. So Andrew started working here 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I asked you, what kind of smartphone do you have? Do you remember this?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
continue.
I was like, so what kind of phone do you have? And he's like, I don't know. Do you have an Apple? Do you have an Android? He pulls it out of his pocket. He goes, is this a smartphone?
Or yesterday, you're asking what service I have. And you just turn it on and it says Verizon there.
And Andrew was like, I'm not sure. I got to look.
It's on your phone.
So if anybody's watching this from the SJE youth, we need your help with Andrew.
Yeah, help Andrew out.
Yeah, help him out. Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
we got to get connected.
Show him the new age ways.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Because, again, morally, technology can be used for good. It can keep us connected.
Absolutely.
We're seeing that right now. Right?
Yeah,
what we're doing right
much,
now.
Yeah, look,
daily mass.
Imagine if we didn't have like Zoom and like all this technology with the COVID-19 and the self-isolation. Mm-hmm. Like, we would have all gone insane.
That's probably
part of the reason that in the past with like pandemics, you know, it was probably a lot harder to really just isolate. Because you would go nuts because we're designed to be social.
Social, right. Social
and
beings.
Thank God for technology during this because it at least gave us one way to still kind of connect.
Be connected.
Going back to one of our first episodes or second, Khalil's point, don't socially distance, physically distance.
That's right.
But that's the thing, though, because if we didn't have technology to physically distance, you could do that. But to still be socially connected would be so much more difficult. You'd be like writing letters, sending pigeons to each other. You know?
Yeah. But again, technology can be good. So we're not meant to stop using this stuff, right? Pope Benedict spoke on it a number of times. We're supposed to use technology to proclaim the gospel. So we are to adopt these things, not to isolate ourselves from them, but to use this to proclaim this.
That.
And that's really what we're trying to do and what we should do.
Yeah. That's the ultimate goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
So not to be afraid of it, but to learn it and use it for constructive means that build the human person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that definition.
Thank you, Michael.
Nice. That was good.
Yeah.
That was nice.
So we started with Elon Musk, the guy who wants to go to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about tech, morality of tech, and then how to use it for good or bad.
Yeah.
I would say the last thing that we can probably communicate to people is that St. Paul tells us faith is by hearing. And so we have to speak the language of the times that we're living in. And the language of the times is exactly this medium. It's podcasting.
Technology.
It's social media.
Yeah.
People still read, but audiobooks are on the rise. And so we always have to be, Pope Benedict says, on the cutting edge of technology. So as a church, as Catholics, we're told to make disciples, to be disciples and make disciples, and to use the means of communication of today to further the gospel message. And so faith is by hearing. If we're going to have others hear, then we've got to speak their language.
Yeah. I can't help but think, though. See, being the most innocent, I guess, of this group when it comes to technology, I feel like we almost need to communicate more about the dangers of technology. Because it's like, obviously, we can use it for good. But I think that like society as a whole, we're almost like drowned in the idea of technology being good, that people forget all the bad stuff. And like working with teenagers, it's like, I know, you know, they struggle with things like porn, like how accessible that is.
Yeah.
You know, all these vices that you can just, give into with technology, and it's just, you know, just
a click
it's in
away.
Your pocket. Yeah, it's in your pocket.
Yeah.
And I see so much harm come from it. It's like, I know all the good possibilities, but it's like when I step back and just think about like the reality that I see all these teens and people, young adults mm-hmm. at college that just are zombies. They'll be sitting at a table by on their own,
yeah.
just with their phone.
Even though there's all
these people around them, they're
head
still, they like make themselves alone.
See, this is a great conversation about virtue then, right? Because we said virtue is a firm and habitual disposition to do the good.
Yep.
And so we can apply virtuous practice to anything.
Technology.
And so when we're talking about technology, are we using this in a habitual way that's aimed towards good? Is it building me up? Or is it breaking
me down?
See, yeah. I get what you're saying, but I think that there's also addictive characteristics to the bad things with phones and technology.
How is that different than what I'm saying?
Well, because like I get the virtue stuff, but I think there's so much like vice that like almost needs to be addressed. Because like since you can access, you know, you have a phone, and like depending on what you do, you can access something horrible like porn, or you can access like a daily mass. You know, you can do a good thing or you can do a bad thing. But like people that really struggle with the vices of technology, mm-hmm. there's almost like an unwiring that I think needs to happen.
Sure, but when
and
you
so,
talk,
you know, it almost can like prevent them using technology for the good,
sure,
for good things.
But when you talk about virtue, you have to talk about vice. So the two conversations aren't...
They're obviously like connected.
They're not opposed. Yeah, it's one conversation.
Yeah.
But what we do is we try to extol people positively by identifying what's negative, but then extolling what's positive to draw them into that practice. And so, yeah, we should, just like we have during this podcast, we've talked about the negative ways that tech can isolate us and bind us.
Yeah.
But then we also have to talk about the positive things that tech can do for us. And identifying in our own behaviors... Are we using them positively?
Yeah.
Or are we just using them negatively?
I'm sorry, Chloe. I think I'm just more pessimistic. Because, like, for instance, like, you
can
be like...
I don't think it's your nature to be pessimistic.
I know. Usually I'm not, but, like...
Yeah.
The way that phones work now, it's almost like if you give in devices, like, the ads and things on the sides, when you're, like, looking through things, they're almost, like, geared to make you fall.
Great. So all right. Let's go. Let's have a thought experiment here. So
go
it's great that you've identified that, Andrew. Right? You've identified that... And this is actually true. So most algorithms, like this came out during the Cambridge Analytica scandal, was it last year or the year before? Algorithms on Facebook were actually designed so that if you saw a post that they knew would anger you or upset you, they'd put that in front of you before they put a post that would give you positive feelings.
Wow.
Because people are more likely to engage in something
that makes
that's going to rile them up.
Yeah,
they're going to share it. They're going to rant
sense.
Against
that's
it.
So true.
We're seeing that with the protesting and the rioting.
Look at the media.
Right? You might see a feel-good post and then, oh, that made me feel good. I might share it. I might not share it. I might like it. I might not like it. But if it's something I vehemently disagree with, I'm going to start.
Yeah,
right?
You're in.
I'm
going
to break it down.
Yep.
So you're right. It's good to understand like how tech can affect us negatively. But then I've also have to understand as a person, how do I combat that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What are the good things that I should be looking for? And so it's not enough. Let's use a nutritional exercise example. Right. You're into nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to know that fast food's bad for me. But how do I get out of the hole of bad health?
Yeah.
I have to know what good health practices are.
Yeah. Well, and you
same
need to know the way to form good habits.
Exactly.
And like tied in with that is just self-control.
Mm-hmm.
But
of it is self-control.
Knowledge is power, though. So I think it's really important for people to know that like technology with like what you just said with Facebook and stuff is almost geared to make you fall. And like if you're aware of that, and then if you start practicing self-control, sure, you can start to use technology for more good. But it's like it's way more helpful when you know and you know what to look out for. Because like sometimes we can form good habits. Well, nutrition. You know, if you're trying to eat healthier and you've got donuts and you know, sweet cereals and ice cream and tons of like really tempting foods.
Father Mileta,
Father Mileta cooking
us with
all those delicious stuff.
So,
and you've got that all the time around you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like setting near occasion, like you're setting yourself up to fail.
You are, but you have to know what the good is in order to choose it. And so it's, again, I don't see.
No, you're,
I think
you're right.
You, I think
opposed.
You kind of set us up where, like, I'm saying something different than what you're saying.
I don't think we are.
No, I don't think we are. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're saying that you have to understand what the vice is.
Yeah.
Knowledge is good. You have to understand what the vice is, but you also have to know what the virtuous act is.
Yeah.
And so it's good to know that a donut might be enjoyable, might be sensory, pleasurable.
And there's a place for it.
Yeah, there's a place for it. not all donuts are evil,
yeah.
but I should know that. I should probably yeah. shouldn't have too many of these
yeah.
because it's,
you know,
yeah,
what like, could happen.
Man yeah. on the lips, forever on the hips.
so one episode of Avatar, you know, that's okay. But like 25, you know, I'm not guilty.
Probably not a
of
good thing.
That,
yeah.
So maybe. What's the good in that situation? What would you choose as the good?
With Avatar?
Well, in that example.
I mean, that's like perfection. So like
Avatar?
Yeah. So in that case, it's okay to watch
now,
the whole series.
Now that's where Andrew and I disagree. So
Avatar.
The good there is like, wow, Avatar is really good. I'm going to enjoy yeah. an episode. But then you identify,
but if
probably
I watch
shouldn't
15,
watch 20 of these.
Yeah. Then, yeah. Then, yeah. Because one's okay. You know, virtue is always like the middle. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to like, you know, maybe watch one or two episodes. But when you go to an extreme and watch, you know, the whole series in one sitting,
right.
you know,
that's
3 days later,
turn.
That's when it turns into a sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. We agree.
We do agree.
Even on Avatar.
You guys just had a little bit of
agree or disagree.
Different thought process.
See, my sister-in-law she loves Avatar. Shout out Lana Clabe.
Oh,
hey.
But she loves Avatar. I don't know what tribe she's with. So she tried getting me into it, and I watched the movie. The movie was not that good.
I haven't watched
you didn't
the movie
like
yet.
It?
I have not watched the movie yet.
I'm on the fence. It? I haven't. I want to watch the series since it's on Netflix now.
So good.
So I'm going to see if I can get into that, but I'm on the fence about it. So.
About the movie or the series?
Just the Airbender, Last Airbender in general.
Yeah.
So.
See,
I'll have to check
you're
it
right
out.
Though, because like I got overly attached to it. I mean, I need to tell you this is important. It was one of the hardest moments of my life. So, we're like, there's 3 seasons of Avatar. Okay, we're watching the 3rd season. There's like 20 episodes. I'm 10 episodes in, and I thought there was 4 seasons. And so then one of my buddies told me that there was only 3.
Oh.
And I had to like fact check it via like 4 different sources. And then I like got so mad I even like threw my phone. It was on grass. It didn't get broke. But I was overly attached. So in that case, you know, it was
that's
a vice.
Where you're veering into the vice.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah that was a
so let's
moment.
Recap this exchange that we had, which was a great exchange.
That was a good one, guys.
Yeah.
Good one.
It's important when identifying the moral... You know what? I'm going to have you summarize it instead of me summarizing. What do you think? What did you hear, Michael?
It's important to, like you were going to say, identify the vice of whatever we're talking about before you get into the good aspect, I guess. Like we said, technology can be used for good and evil.
Yeah,
but it's that
neutral.
Middle ground
yeah.
that we want to balance ourselves between that and knowing the vice will help us in the long run. Right?
Yeah. Well, and like knowing both, I think.
You know, knowing both,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But the vice is important yeah. because you yeah. don't want to fall into that,
yeah.
the bad.
Yeah.
It helps
the
you
good.
Identify those negative habits.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I summarized it.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And to choose the positive.
Yeah.
So know what the negative is. Knowledge is power, but know what the positive is and try to choose that.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
You mentioned something that was really, I'm glad you did. And some people aren't.
Avatar?
Dude, you
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Now my brain's stuck.
We're gonna say that's all he's been talking about for like the last week
months.
Is Avatar.
Avatar.
Somebody
the last
help us.
Airbender.
We've got to break this cycle.
Yeah.
Well, and then Father Mulata, I learned. So, okay, continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, Father Mulata likes Avatar.
Watched it like 5 times.
No more Avatar.
Yeah, okay,
talk.
We're done. I will stop. Okay,
what
continue.
Sorry.
Cool.
Yeah. Something you brought up that was really good was, and something people aren't comfortable talking about is porn.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If technology, if we're going to talk about vice, virtue, and technology, I remember growing up, and I don't know, we're not that much different in age, but to access porn, you had to go to the gas. Like as a little kid, I'd go with my dad, and you'd have to see the magazines in the back, and like they were covered up,
mm-hmm.
and it was like there was always this layer of separation between you and access to porn, so it wasn't readily available.
Right?
Didn't
yeah.
influence you in an immediate way. Now it's so sad. It's on any like it's
yeah.
in your pocket.
It's everywhere.
Well, like look
it's
at
everywhere.
Our TV shows and stuff. Like when you're like
oh, and the level of like
yeah.
what's acceptable now.
Yeah,
right.
Because like back when you were a kid, it was like the 1950s. So it was like you know ankle was like
wow.
too much.
Wow.
Right?
Oh yeah. And then my Middle Eastern culture, right? You see a little ankle coming out of that.
That's some dangerous stuff. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. This
oh
is a serious
goodness.
Topic. But,
yeah, it is.
No, I mean that's entirely true because it's like when I was 12. You know, it's just a Google search away.
Yeah.
And like back then it was like, since that was like the line where technology was being able to be that accessible,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of parents weren't on top of it. Cause
yeah.
like, since they didn't really know, but the kids were almost like
they
like,
were
when
discovering
I was a kid,
it.
We
yeah.
were figuring it out quicker
right.
than my parents.
Right.
And so there weren't things like filters and stuff. You know, it's like we were, it was right there.
There's
nothing stopping us. Whereas now at least parents are more aware.
Yeah.
They're able to put blocks and stuff on. Yeah. You know, they're able to monitor it somewhat.
But even then it's scary because like, I mean,
You don't know, right? You don't know what.
Well, like teenagers nowadays, like, I mean, we saw this with one of our coworkers, like her kids like figured out how to disable the like Wi-Fi blocker thing so that they could be on the internet
all night.
Oh,
they know how to use this stuff.
Like they're smarter. Yeah. Like they can get around everything. Yeah. It's scary.
Right.
Well, this is an awesome topic that's going to really bring together a lot of what we talked about. And like this, so porn, if we're using this as an example, you can monitor it as a parent and you should monitor it as a parent, right? So you can always have access to your kids' phones, always have access to their tablets, devices. There is no like privacy when it comes to that. At least I don't think. Yeah. Right. I've got a son now, so you picture these things.
Right.
Yeah.
There should be this transparency. And it gets to like that freedom, privacy conversation that we were having earlier. But completely lost my train of thought.
You're a parent, parenting and monitoring your kids.
Yeah,
devices.
Completely, it's gone, dude.
It's all happens.
If I had that neural net, I could just instant recall.
Happens.
Come on,
to the
Elon
best of us.
Musk, yeah. Work on that thing.
Come on, man. We need.
Where
that.
Was I going with that? I was a really good.
No,
point.
But with that, that's where it's like you have to be aware of the devices as they start learning technology, so that you can like try your best to keep your kids safe.
Oh, it's back. I got
it. Ah, there you go.
I was trying to help.
Nice. You brought it back.
Good.
Thank
help.
You,
yeah.
Andrew. Right?
You're
give
welcome.
Good assist.
So we talk about old law, new law. Right? We referenced Genesis and Numbers earlier in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But we are Christian people, right? This is, again, Catholic Life Podcast. We are people of the new law and the law of the Spirit. And so it's important for us when we're having these conversations about vices, virtues, freedom, privacy, how to use technologies of today to understand. It's one thing to have our parents monitor for us as if it were an old law where it's being imposed on us. We need to, as persons, then live in this new law of the Spirit. We're growing virtue within us where we don't need anybody to monitor what it is that we're doing. We don't need filters, and it helps us, right? If that does help you maintain a virtuous lifestyle, use it. But we should ultimately be choosing the good because we know it's good.
Right.
I don't need a filter on my Wi-Fi. I don't need mom to have access to my phone. Eventually,
right. Yeah.
I know what's right from wrong, and I'm going to choose what's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'll speak like from a perspective of a husband. Porn it's not in my life. It's not something I want to dabble in because I know the door that'll open, and that's not even a door I want to go through. Mm-hmm. I love my wife too much to even bring that into our relationship and to mess up the sanctity of what we have.
Right.
Now that's a grace and that's nothing that's the merit of the individual.
Right. But a lot of guys struggle with that.
A lot of guys
even
do.
Even married. Yeah. Married
and there's
men
no
too.
Shame
a
in
lot of
admitting
men,
it.
Yeah.
A lot of married guys
it's
do.
So common.
Right. And it's just,
and there's
I think
no shame in admitting it.
No, there's not. And it's better if you do admit it because then you can maybe find
step.
Help. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get the help you need. But
let's just take a half step back to what you were saying. Almost out of mind blank. no, but like you were saying, pursuing the good for the sake of the good rather than like you don't need people to like monitor you and enforce you to follow it. I think that's where like parents forming their kids, especially when it comes to things like sexuality, is so important.
Yeah.
Especially now when like, kids as early as like 8 or 9 can already start hearing things about like porn and sexual references and jokes and things like that.
They
like
have
like
this
parents,
in their hand.
Yeah.
Like
parents have to.
At that age.
Yeah. Like, for instance, my brother is 9 years old. He's addicted to Mario Kart. And, like, he'll watch all these random YouTube videos, but there's, like, commentators. And, like, I am shocked because some of these commentators will, like, say really crude jokes and, like, sexual jokes and stuff, really inappropriate. And, he's just watching this. And, like, my parents, they don't
He probably
watch.
Doesn't really, he might know what it means, but it's probably more of a subliminal thing.
I like that
head.
Word, subliminal. Yeah, because it's, like, It's getting in there.
Yeah.
Like he's starting to understand those terms and ideas, but like my parents aren't aware. So that's how that stuff can like start to almost like sneak
snowball
in.
Snowball effect then,
And it's scary.
Then he's just getting filtered with that.
Begins to form your conscience.
Yeah.
And what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable.
Form your conscience.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. Yeah. So forming your kids, like, I mean, Jacob's only like one, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, forming your kids from like a really early age is more important than ever.
And how often have we heard like kids aren't looking for their mom and dad to be their friend? It's great if the relationship develops into that, but they're really looking for somebody to be an example and a witness to the virtuous Christian life, right? Yeah. We're all called to be examples. That's the first thing, like godfather, godmother, you're called to be an example of the Christian faith to that person that you're sponsoring, mm-hmm. that person that's coming into the faith.
Right.
So you said something that was really important, Michael, and that's if you're, because we ventured into this topic, we weren't planning to, but if you're struggling with porn, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You got to identify it, because that's
first step.
That's the first step towards living virtuously and towards addressing it.
Realizing yourself, like, wow, I'm screwing up.
And with that, like the hardest step is for somebody to like tell someone else.
Oh yeah.
Well, think about it though. It's a very private thing that you do.
Well, and we're ashamed.
And
well,
it's embarrassing. Yeah.
See, but the evil one plays on that.
Yeah.
Right. And if there's anything I love, let's unmask the ways of the evil one. What you were saying earlier, you have to understand the vices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The evil one plays it as a vice. He wants to keep it masked and shrouded.
Most beautiful ways, you know. Well,
the accuser. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He calls us by our sin.
Yeah. How
by our
could
name.
You reveal this to somebody else? Right, no, you should be ashamed of yourself. Right, you keep it. Yeah. Jesus says, bring everything into the light.
The light.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why we have the sacrament of confession.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Bring it to your priest. I mean, our priests, they're ordained to be Alter Christus, other Christs, but they're also men, right? They know what you're going through. But that's why it's good to have fraternity. We said our God's a relational God. We're relational people. We have to have people in our lives that we can connect with and have these intimate conversations. Yeah.
Definitely.
Quick story. So when I was in high school, there was this thing called Governor State. Like, it was this summer program thing where we would like all go to like Madison and then do this like mock government thing. And I had a roommate, I can't remember his name, but we would just like stay up super late. It was like a week long. And one day we somehow started talking about porn and he wasn't Christian. So he legitimately thought it was just a completely normal thing. You know, everyone did it. There was nothing wrong with it.
Engaged in pornography?
Yeah, yeah. You like looking at pornography and the things associated with it. And we just had this conversation and it was fascinating because being Catholic, I told him like my opinion that, you know, it was wrong. And I explained like lust and like how it, you know, objectifies women, things like that. And then I just had I said a very practical thing. I was like, how does it make you feel afterward? And he started talking about like how lonely and horrible it feels.
Mm.
And so like, once I got him to admit that, it's like, then
work backwards.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was fascinating because even though he wasn't Christian and like didn't have the same like morality and like he wasn't
probably starting to realize like, yeah. Dang,
and I have no idea where he's at now, but I hope that conversation sparked something good.
Yeah.
So I just want to share that.
No, that's a great story. Yeah. It's bringing stuff into the light.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. And that's the important. I mean, we can talk about tech all day.
All day.
But dude, I mean, something as basic as the sacrament of reconciliation
can do a lot.
That's going to speak more volumes and transform us more than any cyber nano whatever
chip in our brain.
Yeah, let's stick to the basics.
Schwarzenegger, Terminator. Yeah,
but
that was great.
That was a good one.
How did we get on porn from?
Well, it went.
I guess
from,
it makes sense.
Yeah, technology.
Well, I mean, it's like right here. Yeah.
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 And that's probably one of the biggest struggles, like we were saying, it's so accessible and there's so much of it and you could just one click away and people just get so sucked into it.
Well, and then like with our different standards of modesty now, you know, like you look at Instagram posts,
oh my
know,
god,
it's
ridiculous.
Bad. Yeah,
it's basically it's like softcore porn. You don't see anything, but the girls are basically nude.
Yeah,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, it's acceptable now, right. Like socially.
And it's not even a sexual thing. I mean, it's like lusting after lifestyles that are on our own.
Yeah.
Right? So if somebody has a car, if
nice
somebody's
car,
got a job,
like,
if somebody's got...
They're good looking and you're like, oh, I want that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got to add something else. And then like with Photoshop and people altering stuff to make themselves even look better.
Yeah, that's even worse.
It just makes it
even...
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, there's these young girls, young
not
men.
Not all of us can have those baby blues, Andrew. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's scary. Because like people, young people are looking at this and they're getting this completely unattainable, unrealistic, literally impossible because it's Photoshop.
You know what I call them? Decepticons.
Decepticons.
Whoa.
Decepticons. They are.
Like it.
Because...
The word of the day.
I've seen... Not to down any, but I've seen a lot of girls that will look totally different in an Instagram picture, and you see them in real life, and you're like,
yeah,
yeah,
you're not the same person that I saw in the picture.
Or men
it's
with
like,
height,
what?
lighting, angle.
That's right. All that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at what we have around us.
Right.
Yeah.
It's making us look good, I hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All thanks to the genius of Bob Mulleta.
Yeah, Bob back there.
Mysterious.
It's not just pornography we have to be aware of. Sure, that's something that's, that's something that people struggle with. It's, it speaks to our base instincts. But yeah, lusting after other lifestyles, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how timeless God's word is, right? The Ten Commandments, right? Desire not your neighbor's wife, desire not your neighbor's goods. Mm-hmm. That speaks directly to what we're talking about here. Yeah. And technology makes it very easy to desire.
So easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Your brain is just flooded with so much other other lifestyles that you're seeing.
I don't have this, right? You're watching vloggers travel, you're watching,
right, and it's shoved and people, in your face. It's
people
like,
only show the best that they have. Yeah. Well, so we have these small groups of the teenagers meeting once a week, and some of the boys, it was just fascinating. We had a really good small group yesterday, but they were talking, a couple of them that are like smaller, and they're like becoming older high schoolers, so they know they're going to be smaller the rest of their life. They were talking about how they almost have to like prove themselves in other ways.
Mm.
Like they feel like they've got to be like really smart or like really good at talking or like super competitive. They have to like outwork people since they're just naturally smaller.
Mm.
And then it was fascinating because another kid in the group who is taller, bigger, he like is the opposite because like he wishes he was smarter, you know? And it's like whenever we compare the qualities that we want with what other people have, we often see that other people want what we have but don't have, if that I'm trying to say that more clearly.
Yeah.
So grass is almost, it's always greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. And we don't see what we have because we're so focused on what others have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And then Instagram and all this stuff just perpetuates that.
Yep.
And how important is it to realize the lawn that I'm standing on, all I have to do is water it, and that takes a little work. But it's going to be better than the grass on the other side.
Right.
Cuz once you get there, you're ultimately going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Right there, the only fix that we have for our restless hearts is Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And so we find Jesus in the present and the moment and choosing the good when we're confronted with whatever choice that we have. And by doing that, we find this sense of fulfillment. But if we're constantly seeking and looking outward and looking over, you know, our neighbor's lawn, what do they have?
Yeah.
What don't I have? What can I have? What should I have?
Right.
You're always going to be unhappy. Mm-hmm. You're never going to quench that fire within you.
Yeah.
Agree.
See, this conversation, it just reminds me of that social currency idea. Cause it's like, we are already as Americans, we feel like we have to earn everything. We forget that we have worth, even if we're like not super smart or not super fit.
Oh yeah. Right.
You know, we forget that we have this intrinsic worth. Mm-hmm. And then like something like what Bob was talking about in China, that's just the worst.
Credit system.
Cause like they literally will have a number saying this is what you're worth.
Yeah.
And
it's scary. Yeah.
How terrible is that?
That's
when you put it in that context.
Well,
yeah.
And then it's even, it's hard because like as Americans, like we kind of have this understanding of dignity. As Catholics, we obviously do, made in the image and likeness of God. But like in China and like many other countries that don't follow Christian philosophies, there's not the same understanding of dignity and human worth.
Right. Mm.
So like that's part of the reason that like, you know, things like abortion, well, I mean, it's bad in America, but like we know in China, they've got like limits on how many kids you can have.
Yeah.
You know, like we see all these, like, it's very different because they don't value human life the way we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Yeah.
That's a great
point.
Good point,
Andrew. Yeah.
So your identity and your worth, your value comes from being a son or daughter of God.
Yeah.
Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, created in the image and likeness of our Heavenly Father.
It does not come from if you blow a red light or not.
Yeah. Or any external whatever.
Or if you have a $3 million house.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. But that's what people, we almost want, like, America is almost trying to program us to think that way.
To think, that we
even though
have
it makes us more unhappy.
You know, super.
Well, look how much pressure is on kids these days. I mean, on us, right? We're as young adults. You look at what the stock market's doing. You're looking at housing. You're looking at like what kind of future am I going to have? Mm-hmm. What kind of future are my kids going to have?
Right.
It used to be that the American dream was I'm going to work hard, and tomorrow's going to be better than today, and it's going to be better for my children and my grandchildren than it is for me.
Right.
Do we still feel that way today? And so we can get caught up in that, but never losing sight of what you just said.
Right.
Yeah.
Regardless of my external situation, I have worth because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Should we wrap it up in a prayer?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's wrap it up in a prayer. Since I suggested, I'll go first. But maybe it's something that we should start doing, like wrapping up the podcast in a prayer.
Sure. Well, it is the Catholic Life podcast.
Amen.
So we should.
So it's in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're going to ask you to send down your Holy Spirit, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, wherever we are, wherever we're listening or watching to this podcast, we ask that you fill our minds, fill our hearts, inform our actions. Lord, we just want to love you. We want to know you. We want to be drawn closer to you. We give you thanks, Jesus, for the gift of your Son. We give you thanks, Jesus, for taking flesh, for redeeming us, for giving us the confidence that we will leave this earth alive. Lord, thank you for my brothers here at this table. Thank you for Bob behind the cameras and all those who make this work possible. Lift up to you all those who are listening, all those who are participating, and all their intentions, Lord, we offer to you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael, where can people find us?
You could find us on sjaplus.org. We'll have all of our content up there. You could find us on Facebook, and you could find us on YouTube. And both of those on Facebook and YouTube are under St. John Parish or St. John the Evangelist Parish.
Mm-hmm. Did you mention Spotify and Apple?
Oh, yeah. Those are most important for these podcasts, obviously. Yes, and Spotify and iTunes, find us under the Catholic Life Podcast. Right on. So.
Awesome. Don't forget to comment and leave any thoughts for or questions for future podcasts.
Yeah.
You can tell us what you think of Avatar, too. We'll throw Andrew a bone.
There's no debate there. It is perfect.
Yeah. Be safe. Be blessed, all.